like this on the back table, or make sure you take one with you when you go home if you didn't get one. So we have our normal weekly items going along, the men's Bible study on Monday from 6 till 8. And did I miss something here? Oh. And our prayer meeting here from 7 to about 8:30 is what we normally go on Wednesdays. And then next Sunday, though, we got some special things going on. The Soup for Souls fundraiser. Not Soup for Souls free lunch. Please stay after church and enjoy some soup and bread and pie to finish off. And we'll be receiving donations. And they will go toward this fall's Operation Christmas Child Shoebox Fund. You know, Christmas isn't that far off, right? Some people already have their Christmas lights up, if you notice around town. And no, but the ground won't be. Maybe a few more times. And so we ask that you, if you can, come and help us clean up, put up our winter decor. We're going to put large items into storage next Sunday, the 13th, and then any remaining activity that will be needed for cleanup, that'll be Tuesday, the 15th, here at the church at 11. So, but particularly next Sunday, if anybody can help move some of the big items, they go in our storage area upstairs, so we would appreciate the help. And the last thing, somebody wrote on here, guess what happens next week? Daylight savings time! Boy, don't we love that. Yeah, cut the one end of the blanket off, and it's going to be longer if you sew it on the other end. So, don't be late for church. Move your clocks ahead. And like I always say, you can ease into it a piece at a time. Start Monday and move your clocks ahead 10 minutes for 6 days, and then you'll be all set. Oh, don't do that. Well, those of you who have particular schedules, oh yeah, that'd mess up school, wouldn't it, Pastor Dave? All right. Anyway. See, now since I said that, and you'll remember now, what was he talking about? So you won't forget to do it next week. Now, let's receive our offering. I'll step down there and, hey, Carl, you're looking at me. How would you like to help me take the offering? All right.
I am on. All right. And I'm really hoping that I... Okay. Well, today we are going to celebrate and remember communion. And in our church, our communion is open communion. That means that you do not have to be a member of a church or meet a particular qualification except for the qualification of believing in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So we will invite you today. We should not be surprised in this day to see everything being shaken, The scripture said, God said, once again, I will shake the heavens and the earth so that the things that can be, in other words, so that the things that can be shaken and removed can be removed, but what cannot be shaken, the foundation of God, cannot be moved. And that is the reason we are celebrating communion today. This is the reason that we can stand upon the rock. And though the world be shaking, and is everything going crazy in the world today? Dear God, but the rock, the foundation, Jesus Christ, cannot be shaken. Today as we come and take communion, I want you to remember that Jesus giving his body, his blood for us, please remember he did that for the whole world. And as you take your communion today, please remember the people of Ukraine today who are fighting for their homeland against the power of darkness. And I'm not saying it's the kingdom of light versus the kingdom of darkness, but we want to believe and remember those people. And we remember the message that our brother Tom Brazell brought last week, and the testimony that Ukraine sends more missionaries out into Europe than any other country. And God has used the country. Let's remember them today too. So as you come, if you would like to come, sometimes we go by rows. There's not that many today. Just feel free to come up and take the elements, and then we'll partake together if you would hold them. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's partake together. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Let's partake together. Father, we thank you for the life that we find in your death. We thank you for the freedom that we find in your resurrection. Father, we thank you that we find hope out of your suffering. Lord, and today we give you thanks. We give you thanks for giving us hope, for giving us your life so that we can have that happy day when our sins are washed away, Father. And we proclaim that Jesus is alive. Lord, we thank you for it. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen. Thank you. And thank you to the many people that do things behind the scenes that we don't always see. Things like coming early and setting up communion, being a blessing, people who make sure that we have what we need in the building. We do have a nice handicap access bathroom in the ladies' room now. Luann, thank you for working on that. Luann's dived into her new role as deaconess. Thank you for that. Praise the Lord. I wanted to bring you an update from the Brazells. Oh, and people are texting me even as we speak. Go away. There it is. So Tom says, things have been going very well. We met with one couple, missionaries, for 38 years who are in the midst of major decisions. We were able to talk those things out with them and pray with them. We also met with a pastor and his wife. She had had a stroke and needs a lot of care. He is the main caregiver and is doing the best he can, but it's a very heavy load for him. We didn't have any answers for him, but we were able to hear and to pray with them. Also, I had the opportunity to be with a pastor who has had some major health problems. We have been on the go. Yesterday, we met with a pastor friend of mine from way back in his family in Eastley, South Carolina. It was a great reunion. Thank you for your prayers and your support. It is really appreciated. Amen. The scripture says, like cold water to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. And you know, sometimes you just need somebody to come and bring you an encouraging word. You don't have to solve their problem. But if you can offer a word of encouragement that lifts their spirit, that's the battle. Because the scripture says, a merry heart does good like a medicine, but a wounded or a broken spirit, who can bear? So as our brother is doing, I want to encourage you. You find opportunities to encourage people and build them up. And let them know that they're appreciated and they're loved. Look for those chances. Isn't it wonderful when somebody brings you a word of encouragement? It helps so much. I was at the men's Bible study the other night, and one guy just said something like, "Wow, Pastor Dave, that is awesome." He said something encouraging to me. I don't remember what it was now. I just remember how it made me feel. It's like, wow, he's not here, I'll tell on him. It was Pat Regan. And he just said something that encouraged my heart and spirit, and it lifted me. So do that for your brothers and sisters. It's a wonderful thing. It really is. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Well, we have been talking about spiritual warfare, and honestly, I had such a struggle with my message today. I feel is two messages, and don't panic. We won't be here till 2 o'clock. But I was like, God, what do I do? So if my message seems a little disjointed to you today, it might be. It could seem a little, something might seem a little awkward, but I hope that the truth of God's word, that's the point. It doesn't matter if I'm a great speaker, but God's word is what is important. And 2 weeks ago, we enjoyed a really great word from Brother Tom last week. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about ready for battle. And we looked at the eagle and what the eagle will do to the snake. And how in the scripture, we are, in several accounts, likened to eagles. And how God uses us in the spiritual battle. And when you look at things that are happening in the world, when we look at Ukraine and Russia and China and all of the just uncertainty and difficulty in the world, please understand that behind all of that are spiritual forces. There are all kinds of, the scripture calls them principalities and powers. And we are told that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against those principalities and powers. And when you pray over these situations, pray that God will topple the principalities and the powers that are trying to exert authority and control and inflict horrors upon people. And remember, we talked last week about the whole concept of wrestling. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Some of your scriptures will say, your translations will say struggle. It's really better rendered wrestling. And the people of that time understood what their brutal, brutal idea of wrestling was back in those days, much different than what we have now. But we are called to be warriors. And we don't always see ourselves as that eagle. If you're like me, some days you feel more like the pussycat. You just kind of feel like maybe you might not feel strong within yourself. But that's how God sees you. That's how God saw Gideon when he called him a mighty man of valor as he hid in the wine press. So God is saying that to you. God is saying, you are my warrior. And when we think of the gospel, we think of the love of Jesus and the kindness of God and the forgiveness and the washing away of our sins. But we forget, too, that there is an element of battle and warfare, and we're called to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. And so that's where we're going to go today. So let's look at Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. You can go to the next slide, Adam. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can make your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this world's darkness, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you will be able to stand your ground, and having done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness arrayed, and your feet fitted with the readiness of the gospel of peace. You can go to the next slide, Adam. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying in the Spirit at all times with every kind of prayer and petition. To this end, stay alert with all perseverance in your prayers for all saints. You'll notice that it says three different times that we are called to stand. He says it over and over. In verse 11, he says, so that you will be able to stand against the devil's schemes. Then in verse 13, so that when the day of evil comes, you will be able to stand your ground. And having done all to stand, stand firm. Do you think he's trying to make a point there? Stand. Stand. And that word stand is better translated to withstand, to resist, to oppose, with the idea of vanquishing your enemy. So when it says stand, it's saying do not give up an inch of your ground. Stand firm. Stand firm. Jeannie Russo, you have stood firm. You have. Oh, and God's gonna prove himself in that. He's going to prove it. That sister has stood her ground. She, God, standing and withstanding and not giving up. And if we can be faithful, there is the strength that comes from God to be able to do that. But we're told to get our armor on. We have something to wear. And the idea is putting on that armor, that it's not something that you put on and then when you go to bed at night you take it off and then you put it on and you take it off. The spiritual armor that we wear is something that you put on and you keep it on. put it on and keep it on. Today I want to, we're going to kind of take a quick cruise through the belt of truth. I want to talk a little bit about that. Verse 14, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. And this is different than our concept of a belt that's supposed to hold your pants up. It's just not that kind of a belt. A Roman belt, it was called a cingulum. It actually held the scabbard for your sword. It also held the soldier's important weapons. It kept his equipment. Sometimes they had ropes with it. They had their food rations across the bottom of it. It had strips of armor hanging to protect the lower part of the body, all in there. And having it secured properly and being sure that you wore it was the difference between life and death for a soldier. They had to have that. And the belt of truth, just like the rest of the armor pieces, it comes from the Lord. It's not something you can create. He just simply charges us to put it on. In other words, we can't the belt of truth. We don't create our own truth. We don't create our own righteousness or our salvation. To have that belt in place, we have to come to the source of the truth. That is Jesus. He is the way. John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And that's a very important sequence there. Because there are a lot of people in the world today that want to find their way and they want to have life. But you have to have truth. Truth is what's in the middle. It's like a big sandwich. And you see people all throughout the world today who are running this way and that way to find the way and to have life. But they don't walk in the truth. And all it brings is deception and disappointment. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And that belt of truth is absolutely a crucial piece of defensive armor. It guards our inward being in the battle against the deception of the enemy. Paul's telling us to hang on to what is true. The enemy is the father of lies, and he's going to try to deceive people any way that he can. But truth, I want to just walk down a few simple basic principles of truth, and then I want to take us in a different direction. Number one, the truth brings freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, and where that truth is, there is freedom. There's liberty. The truth brings you freedom. The world today looks at truth like it's some kind of bondage. Somebody who stands for and says that something is true, and they're like, don't put your rules on me. They aren't going to walk in liberty. They are going to be slaves. John 8:32, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth is what sets people free. Not the absence of truth. Today we have movies that come out like 50 Shades of Grey. Now I didn't go and see that movie. But what they're saying is, oh, it's not black and white anymore. It's just all gray. And what do you get when it turns gray? You get something like that that's full of perversion. We don't get to decide what is truth and what isn't truth. God has already said it there. But God's truth brings forgiveness and it brings liberty. Number two, the truth allows you to be prepared. Matthew Henry, the Bible scholar, said that the belt of truth is listed first because the belt girds on a lot of the other pieces of the armor and holds them in place. It's what helps with the sword of the Spirit. It's what helps with your breastplate of righteousness. It's a very important piece of armor. And without truth, a Christian is going to be unprepared. In Jesus' day, the belt also allowed people to gather up their garments and tuck them in their belt so that they could run. If you remember Elijah, when he prophesied that it was going to rain, and he told Ahab to get into his chariot and head back, what does Elijah do? He girds up his loins, he tucks his cloak into his belt, and he takes off running. And by the Spirit of God, he beats the horse and chariot back. 1 Peter 1:13 says, "Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully." I don't know I better look at the version I wrote on there. "Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Some of your translations, they don't use the term anymore, gird up the loins of your mind. It just says, be prepared. That is not at all what the Greek says. Most of the modern translations have changed that to have your mind prepared. That is not the sense at all. It's literally girding up, pulling up, being able to move and tucking that in to that belt of truth so that you've got the ability to move. Luke 12:35-36, Jesus said, "Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning." Prepared. Prepared and ready to go. So the belt of truth gives you freedom of motion in difficult situations. As a pastor, sometimes I find myself with people who are faced in a moral dilemma. Sometimes people come to me and ask, well, you know, what do I do about this thing? Or they've got some tricky situation. Or you watch TV and you see the latest issue, social issue come up. And we don't have to redefine what is right and what is wrong. It's not a question of that. God's word and His truth will show us how to act. It'll tell us what to do. This is the way. Number three, the truth will guide you into safe paths. John 17:17, God's word is truth, and His truth will show us how to avoid danger. Psalm 119:105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. If you're out on the battlefield, you want to know where the landmines are. And God's word will keep you safe. It is a great defense to be able to avoid danger. The world is full of pitfalls, traps, and our adversary loves to call evil good and good evil. And Satan will disguise himself even as an angel of light. That means that he may look pretty good. He may almost look like the truth. May look like the real thing. But the truth is going to reveal deception. And the belt of truth is designed to encircle you. It holds the scabbard that holds your sword, the Word of God. It helps to keep us safe. And we need that belt of truth if we are going to be able to walk against the tactics of our adversary. Our adversary, the enemy, will attempt to attack you. And there are three areas of attack that I want to talk about today. And please understand that I don't want to focus upon the devil. And I'm not preaching a message that we should go out this week and spend our time fighting the devil. We lift up the name of Jesus. That's what we're doing. We resist him. We rebuke the devil. But we're not focusing, but the scripture, 2 Corinthians 2:11, very important. It says, "In order that Satan should not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes." The King James says, "We are not ignorant of his devices." And so if we are going to be wise and we're going to walk in this world, we need to understand our enemy. Not that we have to give him a lot of credence, but we need to understand the hidden works of darkness and how they come. And the enemy's tactics, he will come, he will attempt to wound you, divert you, or isolate you, or maybe all three of those. But if you have that belt of truth on, you're going to be strong against those things. The devil would like to wound you. And the way that he tries to wound people is in our relationships. He can wound your self-image. He can make you feel bad about yourself. He wants to wound you in ways to disturb your vertical relationship between you and God. And his favorite is to disturb your relationships horizontally with other people. And boy, we see that happening everywhere. But he would like to injure your vertical relationship with little things like, does God really love you? Why would God let this happen? Have you ever heard that? Have you ever heard that in your own heart? Maybe God isn't really good. How can God forgive me? But what is the truth? For God so loved. God is love. The scripture says, we know that that is the truth. God is good. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. The truth can help to repel that wound. He will try to attack your horizontal relationships, your relationships with people, causing wounds between people, groups, churches, organizations, nations. This goes on. And the thing is, if the enemy can wound you, then you can't function anymore. When I had COVID, all I could do is lay in bed and go, ugh. And I told my wife, I said, just stay downstairs. You don't want to listen to it. Oh, my head hurts so much and my back. I just laid in bed. I'm like, oh. Misery. My poor wife had to come and take care of me. But in this, you just can lay there. But not only that, it pulls others out of the battle to come and have to take care of you. Now, mind you, I'm not saying that we shouldn't lift people up who are in trouble or people who are wounded. Galatians 6:2 says, carry one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. It's wonderful to come around alongside people and help and encourage them and lift them up in their troubles. The problem is when people get wounded and they stay wounded. The problem is when people get wounded and they stay in a wounded state, and wounded people who stay wounded will wound other people. The injured dog, you try to go and help it, and what does it do? It bites you. And that's what happens with people. And wounded people that don't get better become bitter and unforgiving, angry and injurious. It can be a very difficult thing. And spiritual wounding is really twofold. There's the injury and then there's the infection. And the infection is the open door to demonic spiritual influences that can come into your life through a hurt or through a wound that can injure your soul. And that's really a problem. We looked at 2 Corinthians 2:11. We said, in order that Satan should not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes. But if you look at 2 Corinthians, that same thing, 2:10, I think I have it. Boop, there it is. Preface that, not being unaware of his schemes, with what comes before. If you forgive anyone, I also forgive him. And if I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven it in the presence of Christ for your sake. Forgiveness is the gateway to freedom from spiritual infection. And that is part of the truth to fasten around your waist. Forgiveness is going to be the gateway to freedom from infection. Psalm 147:3 says, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. And I like the Amplified. It says, healing their pain and comforting their sorrow. And, you know, some people try to just live with their wound, with infected wounds. And God's word on forgiveness is that truth. that takes care of the infection. And thank God there's also deliverance ministry. We can be set free from bondages. But the truth is that God also wants to close up the wounds and deliver from pain. He doesn't want people to live wounded. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. And does it sometimes take some time? But if you've been wounded in your heart and in your spirit, you keep bringing that thing before the Lord. Bring it to Him. He's able to do that. And then the scripture also says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. There is healing when you can share those needs with somebody else and allow the body of Christ to pray for you and encourage you. Amen and amen. The enemy not only wants to wound you, he would like to divert you, get you off track. 2 Timothy 2:3 and 4. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. I have to backtrack for just a minute. When I was talking about wounding, I'm hearing a word. I'm hearing the word misery. Misery. And I don't know if that's if there's somebody here, or maybe there's somebody online. Hello to all the people who may be listening to this remotely at some point. I'm hearing the word misery. Someone has fallen into the trap of misery, and it brings hopelessness, despair, depression, suicidal feelings. It can bring all kinds of things. Someone has had a place of misery in their life. Misery. Oh, I just hear it as clear as anything in my spirit. God wants you to understand misery is not who you are. It is a trap. It is a trap of the enemy. And you can fall into that pit of misery and you can swing your sword. You can do everything you can. But the Lord needs to deliver you out of the hole. Recognize that it's a trap. It's not a place that God wants you to be in or stay in. Father, help them, Lord. God, whoever that may be. Deliver from misery, Father, in Jesus' name. If you happen to be here today and that's you and you want prayer at the end of service, we would love to pray for you. I feel like there's more that the Lord wants to do with that. The enemy would like to divert. And it says, verse 4 of 2 Timothy 2, no soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. This is talking about discipline. It's talking about focus. Keeping the main thing the main thing. Really staying on track. As a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ, this is one of the hardest things for me. Self-discipline. Ouch. Because it's so easy to get distracted. So many distractions. I don't even want to tell you. Yes. Oh, I'll just look at you. It popped up. Oh, I'll just look at that. 25 minutes later and 4 other videos, and I'm wasting my time watching a cat fall off the shelf and people laugh at it or some stupid thing. Oh. The devil would love to get you fixed, but it can be so much more than that. Get your heart and mind on things that don't matter. That's his goal. Get you fixated on the wrong battlefront, on stuff that doesn't matter. Chasing ambitions and dreams that may seem to be okay, but they put you on a little bit different path. And it doesn't look like anything bad, but it takes your heart in another direction and not have your heart completely following the Lord. Brother Tom last week shared a phrase. He said, others can, you can't. Do you remember him saying that? That is a statement from a man that lived in the mid-1800s into the early 1900s. His name was Charles Goodwin, and he preached a message titled, Others May, You Cannot. And I found that online, and I thought it was worth... Oh, please tell me I have it here. Yay! I'm going to copy this off and have... I was going to copy this off and pass it out, but I will have this on the back table. This is so, so good when it comes to focusing and not being distracted or diverted. Others may, you cannot. If God has called you to be truly like Jesus, He will draw you into a life of crucifixion and humility. He will put on you such demands of obedience that you will not be allowed to follow other Christians. In many ways, He seems to let other believers do things which He will not let you do. Others who seem to be very religious and useful may push themselves up to be admired and scheme to carry out their plans, but you cannot. If you attempted it, you will meet with such failure and rebuke from the Lord as to make you sorely penitent. Others can brag about themselves, their work, their successes, but the Holy Spirit will not allow you to do any such thing. If you begin to do so, He will lead you into some deep mortification that will make you despise yourself and all your good works. Boy, have I been there. Others will be allowed to succeed in making great sums of money, or in having a legacy left to them, or in having luxuries. But God may supply you only on a day-to-day basis because He wants you to have something far better than gold, a helpless dependence on Him and His unseen treasury. The Lord may let others be honored and put forward while keeping you hidden in obscurity because He wants to produce some choice, fragrant fruit in you which can only be produced in the shade. God may let others be great, but He will keep you small. He will let others do a work for Him and get the credit, but He will make you work and toil without others knowing how much you are doing. Then to make your work still more precious, He will let others get the credit for the work that you have done. This to teach you the message of the cross and humility. The Holy Spirit will put a strict watch on you and with a jealous love rebuke you for careless words and feelings or for wasting your time, which other Christians never seem distressed about. So make up your mind that God is an infinite sovereign and has the right to do as He pleases with His own, and that He may not explain to you 1,000 things which may puzzle your reason in His dealings with you. If you absolutely give yourself to be His slave, He will wrap you up in a jealous love and let other Christian people say and do many things which you cannot. However, know this great secret of the kingdom. When you are so completely possessed with the living God that you are in your secret heart, pleased and delighted over this peculiar, personal, private, jealous guardianship and management of the Holy Spirit over your life, that you will have found the vestibule of heaven, the high calling of God. Do you hear in that all of the different diversions? You could do this, you could do that, but stay focused. Stay focused. Stay in the right way. Oh, glory to God. God help us. Number three, the enemy will attempt to isolate you. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober-minded and alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. When I was a kid, we used to, on TV, my family would watch Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom. Oh, did I hate that show. And those of you who are hunters, I'm sorry. They would always, they'd start out at the beginning and you'd see this animal, some zebra or something, racing across the screen for dear life, and this lion is chasing it, and you'd hear the da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, the victorious theme, and then the lion would leap on the zebra and rip it to pieces. And the rest of my family's watching, you know, watching this show. Oh, yeah, yeah. And I'm over in the corner going, make it go away. Oh, I hated that so much. But, you know, that's what the devil does. He looks for that one that is hanging back from the rest of the pack. You know, there's a whole herd of animals, and then you see these eyes in the grass watching. And then there's one that lingers a little too long at the water hole, and the rest move away, and there it is. And then all of a sudden, and then I have to look away, and you know, I can't watch it. Sorry, but I'd never have made a good hunter. I wouldn't have a problem with the shooting of it. It's what all the stuff you have to tear it apart. God. Which makes me a consummate hypocrite, because I have no problem going to the grocery store and picking up that package of meat and putting it in my shopping cart. It's just the part between the animal in the field and the grocery store that I have a problem with. Yeah, right. There we go. Oh, can you relate, Brother Ed? Yeah, Brother Ed and I thank our kindred spirits on that. Oh, but the enemy's goal is he wants to isolate you from the body of Christ. And you know, he can isolate you, and you can even be in the body, you can be in a whole group of people and still feel alone. The enemy can isolate your heart and spirit and make you feel empty and alone, even in a whole group of people. Oh, it's an awful place, and I have been there. Oh, it makes you vulnerable and alone, and that sense of pulling away from people because of hurt, because of wounding, because of who knows what else. But it neutralizes your gifting and your part in the body. And the truth is, 1 Corinthians 12:27, now you are the body of Christ and each of you is a member of it. And again, the Amplified says, each with their own special purpose and function. And how we need everybody to be part of that body of Christ, and not to pull away, but to open up. And if you ever have that sense of withdrawing, like, oh, I just don't want to be, that's your warning flag. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the time when you call a friend and say, hey, I need you to pray for me. Hey, I'm struggling with this or that. And then you re-enter the body of Christ. Somebody gets to minister to you. Somebody can help you with that. But beware of the pullback and the isolation. It's a work of the enemy. God wants us to have freedom. That belt of truth will help you to conquer each of those areas where the and understand that as we look at these parts of the armor in metaphor, that we kind of overlapped. Today, as I've talked, some of you probably say, well, wait, isn't that more like the shield of truth, or is that the sort of, that they sort of, there's a lot of overlap in there that happens, but God knows. Today, fasten that belt of truth. Hang on to what you know is true. Remember that sheet I passed out a few weeks ago, Who I Am in Christ? Ooh, read that over. That's part of your belt. That will keep you positioned where God wants you to be positioned, and it'll help your focus to be in the right place. Father, we thank you for your goodness, your help to us today. Father, we thank you that you are with us in the battle, that you give us what we need, that you help us, Father. And Lord, help us as we walk in this way, and we are in the world but not of it, and as we wrestle with things, God, that you would help us. Help us to have that belt tightly placed around us. Your truth what you say is real, what who you say we are, what you say things are, what you say is right, what you say is wrong. God, help us to walk in that. And Father, when the enemy comes to wound or misdirect or to isolate, God, help us. Give us your grace to discern and to wear a belt, Father, your truth, in Jesus' name. If you're here today and you'd like prayer, we would love to pray for you. And if you need to go, God bless you. Please remember the Soup for Souls next week. And please remember that it will be a great time of fellowship, but it's also a time for you to open your heart and your checkbook. And there's nothing wrong with the widow's mite, too. We understand it. But we want to support Operation Christmas Child. So come prepared to enjoy fellowship, but to be a blessing in that way too. God bless you. Have a great week. And if you want prayer, please feel free to come forward.